Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of your Italian-American moment. I am your host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and connect with us on LinkedIn. And please subscribe to our YouTube channel. My guest today is Elena Frigenti, who is an Italian journalist and the co-founder of the project Frankie in New York. Elena, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Hi, everybody.
Well, so tell me about your background. You came to America not that long ago, correct?
Yeah.
What part of Italy are you from?
I was born in Livorno, which is a small coastal town in Tuscany, not too much far from Firenze. And from there, I went to Milan for a couple of years to study at the School of Journalism there. And then I was back in Tuscany, and then I've been living in Rome for 20 years before moving to the States. I came here in 3 years ago in 2018 with my husband, my son, our dog. And so it was quite an adventure, and still it is. Yeah.
Did you come here for a specific work or just because you wanted to move here?
Both, because we came here because basically we wanted to challenge ourselves in a new environment, and so demanding but also fascinating like this one. And we were also a bit tired of the Italian way of working, because especially in journalism, it's not so challenging anymore. And so we were ready for a new leap. And then we came here because my husband now works as a correspondent for Italian news agency, Italian newspapers, and I freelance for some Italian magazine, but basically I'm focused on our project, which is Frankie New York, this nonprofit. So most of my time is spent there.
Yeah. Okay, I must ask you, since you are Tuscan born,
yeah,
is Oriana Fallaci, was this?
Rings more than a bell to me, yeah. Yeah. Well, she was a great one, especially in the 60s and 70s. She was amazing because she did these reports from, I mean, the hottest part of the world. I mean, hottest, I mean, most critical. She was really, really good. She had this kind of writing, which was really, really great. And I believe also that she was kind of inspired by the American way of reporting. I see some of Hemingway the greatest of that time. Also, she was, yeah, in the last part of her life, she was a little bit controversial, but anyway, she was a great journalist. Yeah.
Well, recently I did an interview with a woman. Her name is Cristina De Stefano, and she wrote a book about Oriana Fallaci's life. She actually, I think, currently lives in Paris, but she's Italian from Italy. And I just find Oriana Fallaci fascinating. I mean, she was just a superstar. And I'll tell you something, and especially with your project that we're going to get into, Italian Americans. So I am born in Chicago, 100% Italo-Americano, okay?
Yeah, great.
We do not know who Oriana Fallaci is. Italian Americans are not aware of this woman, which is amazing because of the fact that this isn't just an Italian journalist that lived her whole life in Italy. She lived a good portion of her life in America.
Well, so, she was here when she died. She had a house here in the Upper East Side of New York. Yeah.
Oh, she actually died here in New York?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know her remains were brought to.
Yes, of course. But I think that, well, I don't know if the actual moment of her death was here, but the last part of her life was spent here. Yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah, not to get sidetracked, but yes, I just felt like she is somebody, like I always felt there should be a movie about her.
Yeah.
But she was just fascinating. But
yeah,
regardless of
that, very cinematic.
Yes. We'll both work on that. But tell me about Frankie in New York. What exactly is your project, Frankie in New York?
It's a nonprofit. We founded it, my husband and I founded it after coming here. We have basically a couple of dreams. We want to deepen the bonds between the Italians and the Italian Americans, because we have noticed that despite our common roots, the two communities are not so linked. We feel that there is a sort of gap between us, which is weird. Because actually these common roots are very strong and could be very, it could be very useful for both of us put them into fruition. And the other thing that we care a lot of about is telling the stories of the Italian Americans far from the easy stereotypes, because again, we've noticed that when we say Italian Americans, most of the times is Italians, but also not only Italians, think about the stereotypes, the Sopranos, or the Mamma Mia, or the Paisa, or the Nonna, and which is part of the issue, which is part of the situation, but of course Italian Americans are much more, and we are fascinating discovering how many interesting stories are in the community of the Italian Americans. Also, we think that Italian Americans in a way are a third thing, because they are Italians regarding their ability to care about details, as Italians do. But they are also Americans, because they, most of the times, they were born here, they were raised here, so they assimilated this culture, and so they have this capacity of having a broad vision of the things, which Italians often don't. And so I think that in a way it's also interesting this being a third thing, not completely Italian, not completely American, but something in between. And this is, to me, this fascinating. And well, so we try to spread the word about it.
I mean, it's interesting that you say that, and I'm kind of like, I live it. I am it, what you're talking about. So the very first time I went to Italy, I was 19 years old. It was back in 1986. So up until this point, if you said to me, what are you? I'm Italian. But like, when I said I'm Italian, like back then, like we like literally believed, like I don't think I was old enough to comprehend, like me saying I'm Italian, if I would have said that to you, you would have said, no, you're not. So to this point, because I was raised in an Italian American neighborhood, and it was just such a big part of my life, the first time that I realized I wasn't Italian is when I went to Italy. So now I go to Italy at 19, and I'm in Rome, and I'm just looking around, and I'm gathering all this in, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not Italian. I was the first time I realized I wasn't, but I also knew, even though I have an American passport, I knew, well, I'm not just American, so to speak. I realized like this whole Italian American thing, because honest to God, to that point, never would I have responded, I'm an Italian American. I'm Italian. That's what I thought I was. You know, that's in, you know, like I said. So I realized I was Italian American. And let me tell you something. That's like its own group in itself. Okay. Because you're right. Like Italians in Italy and Italian Americans, those are two different groups of people. Okay. We do share some common things. We do share. And, you know, the way you were describing it, we should have ties and bonds. And we could understand more and appreciate more. This is part of my mission, is to spread knowledge for Italian Americans about all the things that we have to be proud of. And, you know, a lot of these things go back to Italy and go back to Italians, not just Italian American things. And that's okay, because we do have a bond. So I am with you 1,000% on your mission, because it's partly my mission as well, coming from the other side of it as an Italian American. Something I'd like to ask you, because I do wonder about this sometimes. Now, you just came from Italy, you said 3 years ago, so you're fresh.
Yes.
In Italy, do they ever even think about Italian Americans? Do they think, like, when they see some of the stuff maybe in the news about all this, you know, clubs and organizations and parades, and do they think, like, why would they do that? What do they care? Why are they trying to keep traditions? Do they think like that, or do they think, like, this is great, our fellow, you know, Italians in America are continuing?
Well, actually, Italians, when they think about Italian Americans, this is why I'm working on it, and this is why I'm on this project. They just think about the stereotypes, as I said, because it's easier in a way, and also it's just what they know about Italian Americans. And maybe seeing also all the, let's say, folklore about Italian Americans traditions, like parades or stuff like that, or feasts, I think that they consider it just a part of folklore, but not they don't think they share the same feelings about this way of approaching the essence of being Italians. And that's why I want to go through this path, because I think that also Italians have a lot to learn, to understand from Italian Americans, and me myself as well. Since I came here, I, thanks to the passion that Italian Americans show to Italy, I really started to appreciate again my Italianity and my language, my roots, my culture. Because in a way, we Italians born in Italy are not so we are proud of Italy when there is some soccer games or something like that. But we really don't feel like being a community. And what I love of Italian Americans, and what I love of the American society in general, is that feeling of belonging to a place, to a community, even the tiniest one. From the school, the neighborhood, and then the region, the city, and so on and so on. So I'd like to convey this ideal of community towards Italians through the Italian Americans' way of expressing it.
Well, that's wonderful. And I mean, you know, I know for myself, like, being Italian American, that's my entire identity. That's what I am. That's my being. Now, not everyone's going to be like that, and that's okay. And with younger people, especially now, there's just, you know, with internet and social media, there's just so many things going on, as opposed to when I was a 16-year-old, this didn't exist. There was no internet. There was no computers. There was no social media. So when I say like I was Italian, like that was like everything to me. Okay. And it still is like the number one thing of my identity. It's not an easy sell. It's not easy to get Italian Americans to appreciate all the culture, you know, beyond food. Okay. And it's the truth, you know. And the problem with the stereotyping of the Sopranos is on television and movies, that is the way the American public views our people, because that's all they ever see, because those type of shows sell, they're popular. So America views Italian Americans. If you go not in New York and Chicago, but if you're in, you know, Alabama, well, in Alabama, they think of an Italian American, they think you're a crook. They think you're part of a bad society of people. And I mean, that's ridiculous, because every group has criminals, and there's been studies done that the amount of Italian Americans in America are 19 million, and you know, there's 1,000 criminals. So you're gonna take a whole group, and that's what they're known for, and that's ridiculous. And it's really disheartening, is even more so, because I mean, for me, I feel like the world that we come from, the culture that we come from, you know, without offending anyone, you know, la più bella cultura del mondo, senz'altro. So it's like, here we come from this great people and culture. And sometimes, unfortunately, the young Italian Americans, the only thing they can focus on is the Sopranos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's surprisingly popular among the young.
For the young people, I don't know if you're familiar with some of these shows like Jersey Shore. They show, you know, things like that. That it's, you know, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. And I mean, not even most of those kids were even Italian American, but unfortunately, it just breeds it. So trying to get younger people to buy in is not easy. Something about your website, you know, looking on it, I learned of an individual off your website that amazed me, a man named Rocco Comiso.
Oh, yeah. So, the owner of Fiorentina.
Yes. The owner of Fiorentina. But his story, it's amazing. Came from Italy as, I believe, a 12-year-old.
It was a kid.
Came from Calabria.
And he was born in Calabria.
Right.
He was born, Gioiosa Ionica, which is on the eastern coast of Calabria, but he left Italy from Naples harbor because he went by boat. Yeah.
Right. And it kind of touches home a little, because my wife was born in Calabria.
Oh.
So I married into a Calabrese family. So here's this guy that, you know, came like they did from Calabria, very poor.
Yeah.
Went to school, did excellent in school, then excellent in work, became quite a wealthy man.
Yeah, it is. He is.
Huge soccer player, huge soccer fan. And what does he do? He buys an Italian soccer team, Fiorentina. Yeah.
But you see, you know, there are a lot of Italian Americans and Americans properties that are now interested in Italian soccer. Rocco Commisso is not the only one. There is also Italian American properties also in Parma, and I should ask my husband.
No, c'è un altro. In a guy who is like third generation Italian American, purchased a team in Molise. I don't think.
Oh yeah, Matrizetta.
Okay, it's not Serie A, it's Serie B.
No. He has some stocks in Campobasso, which is in Serie C. It's like a third league. And also he has some shares in the Ascoli, which is in Serie B. So yeah, he's very focused, yeah.
And that's so amazing.
Again, this is because I personally know Matrizzetta, and it is a tribute to his grandfather, because he started to love Italian soccer thanks to his grandfather, because any given Sunday there was some match to watch on TV, and so he started to appreciate the Italian soccer, and so here he is.
And that's awesome. And you know, someone like that, especially the last gentleman, because he's Italian American, you know.
Yeah.
That's a great story. That's a wonderful thing. And it's like, that's the kind of guy that we almost need to bring around to different Italian American communities and talk to our young people to really inspire them and to show his love for his family and his family and his people. When I say people, I mean his Italian people. So.
Yeah, this is the core of his aim is actually to give back, because Italy has given him so much in terms of culture, of family, of love and everything. And now he wants to give back. It's not just a commercial operation, which is, of course, because, yes, he really wants to give back to Italy, because he cares about it so much. Yeah.
That's great. A few other things I saw on your website. One was really interesting. Football weddings.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
actually, I found out it here, because I have never heard of them in Italy. Apparently, there was this tradition among Italian American families to celebrate weddings on Sundays, and there was this people didn't have so much money to organize parties, and so there was something all very familiar, very easy to serve sandwiches and stuff like this, like more or less a kid's party. And at a certain point of the party, people got crazy, and so they began to, because the room was were crammed with people, and so they began to launch the sandwiches over the room, like in a football game, you know. And these were
Yes, it's very interesting. And before my time, but I have been told that in Chicago we had something similar. But they're called peanut weddings. So peanut weddings were, like you said, because no one had any money. They were all poor.
Yeah.
So basically it was a wedding with, Chicago has a thing called a beef sandwich, an Italian beef sandwich. So it's like slices of roast beef with certain herbs, the way they cook it. So they had like beef sandwiches, sausage sandwiches, homemade wine. You rented some kind of a hall, and that was it. And that was your wedding. And I bet you they had more fun at those weddings than the $100,000 weddings that we put on together.
Yeah. I think so. I think the same, just the same. And I think that the football weddings were a tradition on the East Coast, because from the interactions I had on that coast back then, people told that, yes, they remember the fair, and they were all people from the Eastern Coast. Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
In a way, yes.
Yes. So what is, what's your future plans with Frankie in New York?
We are working on a big project, which is to write and to publish a Who's Who of the Italian Americans, which is a sort of collection of little biographies of any Italian Americans, the famous ones, and also the ordinary people, just one after another, because we want to, it's something that has never done before, and we want to to spread the word about this, the beauty of this community, and it's also a tribute to, also for the memory of the community itself, because so people can be remembered in the future. So also for the younger ones, as you said before, it's very important to get them involved.
I think that's great. Yes.
And yeah, so we are working on it. Still, we are projecting. But if you follow us on the website and our social media, you will know everything you are to.
And may I just add that personal opinion, but I'm not the only one. I really, really believe in young kids being exposed to the Italian language by taking a course in the Italian language, which they also teach a little bit of culture, and older, like after 18 to 25, a trip to Italy.
Yeah.
That is so important. That is almost everything. Those are two majorly important things for us to make an effect on future Italian America.
Yes, the language is crucial because one of the things that I noticed coming here is that unfortunately among Italian Americans, Italian is fading, because probably you speak Italian, because I can tell from your the words you told before, but the majority of Italian Americans don't. And this is such a pity, because any other community here has preserved their native language, and the Italians are more or less the ones who didn't.
Ti posso dire una storia?
Assolutamente.
Ho un amico, un professore che è venuto dall'Italia 2 anni fa e lavora a un'università vicino la zona di Chicago dove c'è scritto Little Italy.
Sì.
Ma forse era proprio Little Italy 50 anni fa, 70 anni fa, 90 anni fa. E sai cosa mi ha detto? Lui ha preso un appartamento in questa zona e poi mi ha detto, Frank, a Little Italy non c'è nessuno che parla italiano.
Anche qui.
It's sad. It's just sad. Now, fortunately, I told him, well, you come and see me in a little different area of Chicago and there will be people speaking Italian, but you are 100% right. We lose this language, and I can't understand it when people I know in the school that their kids go to offer Italian language classes for free and the kid will sign up for Spanish. And I'm like, why?
Well,
you gotta understand, Chicago Spanish is almost as popular as English. I mean, there's just millions,
too,
but it's like, isn't there any kind of family pride to say, you know, take an Italian language class because that's what our people are? I mean, I just don't understand it anymore.
Yes, because actually there was a period in which there was a reason for that, because Italian Americans wanted their kids to be fully integrated in the new society. And so they preferred them to speak fluent English rather than Italian. And this is totally understandable also, because we have to say that in the past, Italians are also being discriminated. And so this is true. This is not some fantasy, but now there is no point. So now
take the Italian class. You know what? I'm the kind of guy that I speak my mind and the truth. Odds are the kid's not even going to learn Spanish. So if that's the case, take the Italian. Maybe he learns a little bit, and you're always going to be Italian. You're always going to be Italian American, I should say. Yeah. That's your whole life. So
I know, probably also because Italian as a language is not spoken so much around the world, because actually we Italians are not so many, and because it's a small country, and Italian language is not so spread all over the world. Apart that some contests, music or food, but so maybe maybe this is the reason why kids don't choose Italian classes, but you know, yes, you're right.
I wish as a community here in Chicago, yeah. I wish we even, you know, we offer Italian classes through our like community center. It's called Casa Italia. And I mean, boy, I almost wish we basically funded the whole thing and it was free, because I just want more people to take it. I want more parents to have their children take it. Yeah. And, you know, not everyone's going to eventually be fluent, but it doesn't matter. As a parent, you expose them to that. Like you take them for baseball or you take them to play basketball, you take them for Italian classes and you see what happens with it. But at least you did your job. So
I totally agree.
In conclusion, I wanted to offer, if I can ever be of any help, because we're on the same page, we're on the same mission. If I can ever be of any help in any capacity, please reach out. Frankie in New York has a friend, Frankie in Chicago, okay?
Yes.
So that's awesome. anytime I can be of help in any capacity, please, because it's not an easy thing and we're all trying to get to the same goal.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. And yes, I'll lean on you. Yes.
And I want to thank you for your husband, you know, coming from Italy and being so concerned with Italian Americans, because I don't think that that's probably the most common thing of people coming from Italy.
Well, probably, yeah. But it's a true passion. It's a true passion. It was born well before our decision of moving here. So it's not just something that popped up like from nowhere.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, thank you. Elena, thank you for the interview. And thank you as an Italian American for the project. And good luck with the future plan. I hope it goes great. And like I said, you have a friend in Chicago, okay?
I value so much.
Thank you so much. Everyone, look up Frankie in New York. Is it frankienewyork.com?
Yes.
And may I add, it's Frankie, FRANKY in New York, where I'm FRANKIE. So it's Frankie with a Y in newyork.com. Everyone look it up. There's great information on it, and support this great project.
Yeah, thank you so much. And also, if I may, we also have a monthly newsletter. Each month we focus on a topic which is of interest for the community. And this month is Italian Heritage Month, of course. So if you go to the website, you can sign up for the newsletter as well.
Excellent. Everyone do that. Sign up for the newsletter. You get an email. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that is. Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Elena, thank you. And to all, have a great Italian American day.